morning we're going to turn our attention to Psalm 27, and it's going to come up on the screen here because as we start, I would invite you just to read it with me responsively by the verse. So I'll read the odd verses, you read the even verses, and together we'll lift this psalm in worship. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing that I ask the Lord, I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and inquire of his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
Now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. I will offer in
his tent. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I want to invite Tom to come. I have a distinct privilege as the priest here at Emmaus Road of hearing many stories and walking a lot of journeys, and I think sometimes about how unfair it is for me to not have those shared beyond, and so I've asked a couple of people to share today in light of Psalm 27 and for us to take some time together. And so I've asked Tom to share, and then in a little bit we're going to ask Ashley to come as well. And I gave him a couple questions. So, Tom, maybe you can just start by sharing with us. We've been talking the last number of weeks about just the shakiness of life sometimes and how we can, the ground beneath us can sort of get shaky, and been trying our best to just learn what it is to put our eyes on Jesus and find solid footing in the midst of it. And you were kind of sharing some stuff with me over the past few weeks that I'd love for you to just share. So, first of all, how has life been shaken recently? What would you...
Yeah, I think a couple weeks ago, many of you know I work as a school principal, so I have to balance lots of stakeholders, a lot of different relationships, both above me, kind of equal to me, and below me, so to speak. But yeah, I ended up in a pretty hard interpersonal conflict where I got accused of something that was false, and that really... I'm a justice guy, so that really riled me up. And so I came home after work on Friday, and Lauren knows me well, obviously, and knew something was wrong. I sat down on my laptop, started filling in, updating my resume and cover letters over a cup of tea, because that's what old British people do in a crisis. And Lauren just looked over at me at one point. She said, "You're going to sleep on that, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, don't worry, hon, I'm going to sleep on that." But... yeah, no, it really shook me. There's many things, as you all, those who know where I work, I love the school, I love our community, so when something like that comes, it really hit me really hard. And then that following Sunday was when we sang the House Fire song, Build My Life, and there's that bridge in there about not being shaken, and I will build my life upon the rock. It is a firm foundation, and I was just sobbing in the back over there, which isn't very much like me, but yeah.
Yeah, and so like in some ways the shaking being about circumstance and about something that has been so solid and so precious to you, feeling a little bit tentative, but also about a bit of a shaking as related, it sounds like, too, to even just like things of character and things like to be called out or accused of things that weren't true or those kinds of still. It's incredible sometimes to realize there's these moments where we know things in our head, but to be honest about the fact that even though we know them, it just rattles us in the kind of, yeah.
Totally.
Are there ways in which, well, in the midst of that specifically, that you can kind of look back and ways that you sought to kind of fix your eyes on Jesus or however you mentioned already, just even in worship? But
yeah, well, that worship as well, that Sunday, I very much was reminded, I know you've used it a couple times, the picture of Rembrandt and the disciples in the boat. And yeah, my prayer that Sunday was very much, am I called to be in this boat during the storm? Or do I need a new boat? That was kind of what it came down to. So it was very much trying to discern that. And I said to God, look, I'm going to dig into this. And so for me, drawing close to Jesus also means drawing close to the support network that I know I have around me. So whether that's yourself as a priest, my mentors, my kind of peers, my trusted people. So I spent the week going for coffee or going for a beer and hanging out with these people. I also spent the week listening to that house fire song kind of on repeat. And I walk to work every day, which is a really grounding time for me. And it was a real wrestle throughout the week and feeling shaken. But the key reminders that I kept getting was just where those foundations are, the rootedness of life in Christ and what that means. And regardless of sometimes the earthly things and the pressure that can build in an earthly way, one of the things, even in the past couple of days when chatting with another one of my support guys, that came to mind was a trip that Lauren and I took to the Three Gorges Dam, which is like the biggest man-made dam in China. And I remember standing there and being in awe of this, like, the biggest dam in the world. Like, this thing is huge. But there was still something about it that didn't sit quite right with me because it's man-made, right? It's this huge industrial, huge thing, and it's beautiful. But pressure builds in a dam, right? So, and it just kind of spoke to me as well just around the importance of, and then contrasting image of sitting by a stream of living water, by a tree, under a tree, and for me, that contrast, but they're both water, they're both beautiful, they're both alive, but yeah, nobody guaranteed life is going to be easy or not shaky. That pressure might build in the dam, but actually our truth and our hope is that in that living stream by that river.
Cool picture. I really appreciate what you're saying, too, about, you know, the question was, is that the ways in which you were fixing your eyes on Jesus, and how a couple things that stood out to me. One was that that connection or the instigator of that was him, right? It was sort of like in the midst of that, not that you weren't already trying to reach out to Jesus, but you, in that service, all of a sudden you're in worship and Christ came to you in many ways, which I think is so important and worth recognizing, that we have a God who doesn't depend on us to kick that into gear even necessarily. But the other beautiful thing is we're talking about community and how community really actually is a very, we talk about all the time, the sacramental nature of the church, right? That we actually, when we get together with one another, especially when Christ is central and the heart of other is for Christ in you, that is a beautiful way in which Christ does speak into our lives and ground us and help us find that. And so, you know, whether it's your wife kind of stepping in and gently saying the things that she knows you need to hear, or friends, community. So then in the midst of all of that picture and the story and stuff, what's God been doing? What's it?
When I had the picture of the boat and I said, I'm happy to stay in the boat, but it's going to require an increase in faith. And that seems like a bit of a dangerous prayer, but at the same time, again, like, mold me, O Lord. It was kind of the sense I had. So I went throughout the week, and I sat on the applications that I filled in, and God very clearly, through the conversations, through prompting, was like, no, I need you to be where you are. And I said, okay. And so to anybody I've spoken to about it, I'm not assuming that's an easy choice. Actually, for me, I felt the easier choice was to go somewhere else. So now it's like, more Lord. That's kind of, and even approaching into Lent and then Ash Wednesday and even your whole theme around shakiness at the moment, it's just like, oh yeah, like it's going to be a important Lent for me in terms of faith moving forward. And I'm confident I'm in the boat. I might be in that Three Gorge Dam, kind of feeling that pressure right now, but the hope of life eternal by the stream with our Lord is gets you up every morning.
Yeah, beautiful. Let's just pray for Tom, and then he's going to read a portion of that psalm for us again, just to keep us grounded in the Word. God, we thank you so much for Tom and Lauren, for James and Evelyn and Henry, and just for this family. Particularly, Lord, we just stand as a church with Tom in a shaky season and recognize, Lord, the gift and the beauty of him finding strength and not being shaken. Jesus, would you continue to lead, to guide, to sustain, and particularly just to give him everything that he needs to be obedient to the things that you've called him to, especially on days when it feels shaky or when the things you've called him to seem beyond him, hard, even impossible. Lord, that in the midst of that, people would see Jesus, and Tom especially. So we thank you for him, and we just bless him in your name.
The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil doers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foe, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide in me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Thanks, Tom. So to reflect on the first six verses of this psalm that Tom just read for us again, I think the first thing I want to point out is the writer of this psalm was very acquainted with shaking, right? He talks about this declaration right up front of who God is, but you can kind of already hear in verse 1, right? Whom shall I fear? There's a sense in which there is a wrestle happening, but then really breaks it open. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh. I've had some shaking too in the past couple weeks. I don't know if that's the language I would use. It's not quite that intense. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. There's this acquaintance with shaking. And so we're in good company today with the psalmist. It goes on then to declare, and I love this, and Tom, even as you prayed it right after sharing, and one of the things I love about today is having Tom and Ashley share. I'm not having them share from the victory circle. Like, I'm not having them share from, like, 6 months down the road when the story's all tied up with a bow. They're sharing right from the middle of it. And I think that's what we have here in Psalm 27, where then in the middle of it, the psalmist begins to kind of like starts into a bit of a declaration of desire, of longing. There's one thing I desire, one thing that I'm seeking, one thing that I'm longing for. And I think it's interesting then to sort of see what that is, right? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon his beauty. This psalmist is acquainted with shaking, but is also acquainted with what can set your feet solid in the midst of it. You know, it would have made all the sense in the world to say, you know, the one thing I seek is that people would leave me alone, right? There's one thing that I seek, you know, that war would finally stop, that this life would get easier, that I would finally have the money to pay the bills, that I would finally get a job, that I would finally have my kids start to listen when I ask them to do something. There's, you know, and all of a sudden you go, okay, maybe there's more than one thing. Maybe there's 100 things, right? And the psalmist goes, no, there's one thing I desire. And I don't think it's by way of downplaying all those other realities. It's about perspective and saying, all those other things I put aside and recognize that what I need is what we've been talking about for the past few weeks as a church. I need the grace and the gift of having my eyes fixed on Jesus. Want that I would dwell in his house, that I would know I'm in his presence, and that I can see him, and that he hears me. Beautiful words to kind of put to some of what we've been sitting in together as a church over the past few weeks and as we walked into Lent. Why? Why is this the thing that the psalmist desires more than anything else in the midst of really shaky seasons? It comes to us in verses 5 and 6 when he begins to declare and to share, probably from experience, probably from testimony that he's heard, he begins to declare that one thing I desire is to be near to God, to have God present and actively at work in my life, because there's a promise in the heart of God to me in the midst of shaking. He will hide me. He will conceal me. He will lift me high up on a rock. My head will be lifted up, right? He recognizes that circumstances aren't often in our control. The things that are doing the shaking, sometimes we can do something about them. A lot of the times we can't. And there's a reality to which the psalmist says, but that's okay, because I have a God who can lift me up in those places. He can be a protection to me. He can be a guard to me over my very life, but over my mind, over my heart. And he can lift me up high onto a rock. And so you kind of get this picture as the psalm goes on about a man surrounded by enemies, but standing up on a rock where he can't be reached, where he can't be touched. He's been lifted up out of the shaking and set down, and not set down on anything shaky, set down on something solid. So the shaking is still all around. The enemy still surrounds, but his feet are set on a rock. And so with that faith, with that belief that that is who God is and that's what he wants to do for us in the places of our lives where we feel weak, the places of our life where we feel shaken, what a beautiful reminder. And just to declare those things, as we did prayer before our service this morning, we took time to just begin to declare things that we know that are true about God and about what he does. And that very much is what the psalmist is doing here in verses 5 and 6, just declaring the things that he's confident in. There he'll be safe. And finally, there he'll be set free to worship. And I love the picture. I've always loved this picture of, you know, sort of standing on a rock, surrounded by enemies, and just worship, like completely, almost to the point of unaware of the enemies. The eye gets so turned to Christ, and the feet seem so solid. And then I just love to contemplate what's happening in the heart of the enemy at that point. They're just getting more and more frustrated, because it's just not working, right? They're realizing their bark is far bigger than their bite. And a beautiful picture. Ashley, if you would come, I'm going to have Ashley share just from her journey over the past couple weeks. And after Ashley has shared, Nathan, you can come, and we're going to just respond together to some of what we've been hearing and some of what God's saying to us in our lives. But you've had a interesting week and a half. Yeah, Ash Wednesday, right?
Yep.
I got a text from Ashley. Why don't you just, first of all, share with us a little bit about how life's been shaking recently.
Yeah. So on Ash Wednesday, kind of ironic, I got in a car accident. I know I'm smiling right now. I kind of just laugh when, I don't know, that's just how I handle grief, I think. But yeah, it was just after our chapel service, and we had just done the crossing of the little distributing of the ashes, and I was on my way to get some new running shoes, and then I just, got in a car accident. It sucked. I broke if anyone knows, fifth metacarpal in my hand. And then I couldn't move my neck for a while. Like, I'm actually doing a lot better right now. But I couldn't move my neck for a bit and was very stiff and super emotional time.
Yeah, so the shaking physically.
Yes.
Right, but there was a lot more shaking than that. In what ways did it, do you feel like it shook you?
I think I'm someone that like loves to just be there for people, and especially working in ministry, like over the past 5-6 years, my roles have very much been being there to like support people when they're weary. And so to learn how to like receive and actually ask for help has been really hard. So I think it has shaken me in like my independence, I guess, because I can't even open like my ice cream or jam jar. So it's like I need help for like everything right now. Yeah. And emotionally just very like shaken too. Like you don't really realize how much you do with both hands until like one is kind of gone. So right.
Yeah. So in the midst of then the last kind of week and a half as you've been walking that through and those kind of things, what were some practical ways that you fixed your eyes on Jesus or attempted to do that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, already I'm kind of in this season of trying to figure out rhythms with God again, just with like school and everything, but like I couldn't really move my neck to like look at my Bible, so I was like, oh, I'll just like put on worship music and stuff, and I kind of realized I was trying to just like put in all these like methods or ways of like encountering God, and I kind of had this moment of like being like, okay, why am I just like putting on this sermon or like doing this, which is like all great things, but I felt like I was almost trying to create the ways that I was going to meet God without allowing him to just like meet me in the midst. And I think just reminding myself that like God works in profoundly ordinary and mundane ways. So even, like, I texted Chad the other day, like, I was doing my Greek homework, and we're translating Romans 5, which I can read part of it in a second, but I just thought it was so funny how, like, God really, like, meets you where you're at, and I'll just read the verse. Do you want to open? It's that tab. This one. Thanks. So I'll read Romans 5, 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I'll go grab that. And one thing that, like, I don't know, it was kind of just crazy how I was, like, translating, and I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome. God's meeting me in this suffering. And one of the words, hupomone, it can be translated as, like, patient endurance, perseverance, and steadfastness, and it's used in the context in relation of, like, suffering in this. So I thought that was kind of cool. So to some, just like fixing my eyes on Jesus and remembering that he is just in the mundane and ordinary spaces of life.
Even Greek homework. I'm still flabbergasted by this, to be honest. I don't know if Lord ever met me in Greek class, but good to hear just kind of how you've leaned into Jesus. I'm really struck by what you said, though, about your tendency or your temptation in that space of real need and feeling shaken to try and in some ways fabricate something or to like make something happen rather than to let Jesus come to you, sort of just kind of be in a place of waiting, really, in some respects. And I think, you know, we're gonna have Ashley read a prayer portion of the psalm for us in a minute, but and then together we're gonna lean into the last two verses. Jump too far ahead, but this idea of waiting upon the Lord, What a beautiful idea, right? But when you feel that or being led into places of waiting when things are shaking, it's hard, right? And so to recognize, like even identify many of us probably with what Ashley's describing, when the going gets tough, right? The tough get going, that kind of thing. And God kind of saying, no, let's try this different. Like, and so it's so beautiful too to just hear how the Lord in that though kind of brought you out of the striving, in a sense, into a place where you actually were able to minister to him, or he was able to minister to you. So then what, in that space, what has God been doing?
I think the biggest thing, well, I think it's kind of, like I said, kind of ironic that this happened on Ash Wednesday, because I was like, oh, I guess I'm giving up my hand and my car for Lent now, and like, what a way to like enter into Christ's suffering. And so I've been trying to press into that as much as I can. But I think, like I mentioned before, like, it's really, like, yeah, I just like to support people. So to kind of have that support given back to me in such, like, big ways. Like, I literally have a Google sheet that has, like, people's names for carpooling. And that's, like, such a big ask, I feel like, for people to, like, drive me to and from school and appointments. And, like, I can't really, like, cut food right now or anything, so I'm really like having to give up all of like my normal independence right now, and especially like without a car. So I feel like in that, like, I always kind of understood the concept of humility as like not boasting about oneself, but I feel like this is kind of showing to me that humility is also like recognizing your weakness and allowing people to actually like come to you in that. And he's definitely like teaching me like his love through others, and that, like, yes, obviously it's important to like read your Bible and pray and like meet God in those ways, but also recognizing that I can like totally see and meet with Jesus like when my friends are being super kind by like comforting me in these ways. So yeah, that's kind of what he's been teaching me recently.
Wow. So it would be something to hear the Lord ask you to give up your independence for Lent, wouldn't it? So kind of a gift. You know, it is ultimately, but wow, for him to sort of say, yeah, I'm going to show you how we're going to do that. I'll take away your hand and your car. It's like, wow. Well, let's pray for Ashley in the midst of what God's doing. Lord, we thank you so much for her. And we pray just with great thanks for even what you did to protect and preserve her in the midst of the accident. We pray, Lord, that in this season, as she does lay down control and independence and the kinds of things that at a heart level she's realizing she valued more than maybe was helpful, that Jesus, you'd just be so merciful and gracious to her. Pray, God, that you by your Spirit would come and that you would teach her deep lessons, that she would encounter Jesus in the shaking, and that she would be able to give testimony to how her feet have found solid ground, and strength has been hers in a season where that can only be about you, and just give testimony to the God that she has. And so we bless her and thank you for her today. Amen.
Psalm 27, 7 to 14. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not. O God of my salvation, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Thanks, Ash. So the psalmist just gives us, this gift is such a gift to us on so many levels, and because it's a very practical one that we can live into, and particularly in a season of shaking or in a season like Lent, where we're able to come and we're able to find our legs to declare some truth, right? The Lord is my rock and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. But I'm going to admit that I feel shaken today. But even in the shaking, even though armies rise up and wars, like even though things around me and in my life might feel shaky, I know I'm okay. And so right here in this space, there's one thing that I desire. And I choose to discipline my heart, and to fix it upon the one thing, and that is the God who created me. To fix my eyes upon Jesus. To remember and recognize that I am standing in the presence of the Almighty God. That things aren't shaking because He's absent. And so we begin to pray, begin to lift up our petitions. Remembering and believing in faith that He is at work to set our feet on a rock, to lift our heads. And so the psalmist begins to just lead us in prayer. Lord, would you hear me? Be gracious to me. I am seeking you. Please don't hide from me. Turn me not away. Please don't cast me off or forsake me. How often the shaking is connected to relationships. In the midst of relational stress and disappointment and betrayal, the psalmist reminds us and just declares, the Lord will take me in. So we pray, teach us, lead us. And the psalmist closes by declaring that I believe I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What an powerful declaration in the midst of shaking. Standing right here, right now, right in the midst of what's happening, we declare that I believe I will look upon the goodness of the Lord here. And then this invitation that I want us to respond to just in action today, to wait for the Lord. Ashley, what a beautiful lesson. Friends, in the shaking, if you are tired, if you are weary, and especially if it's because you have been working so hard to try and find Jesus, so hard to fix the situation, so hard to make the shaking stop, hear this invitation today. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, friends. Speak it right into your life in the midst of your shaking. Be strong. Let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. So here we are together, church, in the midst of Lent. We've invited Jesus to search our hearts. We've committed to a season of radical honesty. As we've done that and we sit in this space, I just invite you right now to wait on the Lord. So as Nathan plays, we're just going to take a moment of quiet to wait. And maybe part of waiting is stopping some things, like and deciding to start waiting. So maybe it's about laying some things down or ceasing to strive or You know, maybe part of coming to this place of waiting and just being in the presence of the Lord requires some confession, some repentance. You know, maybe in some ways you've not been in the place of waiting, but in the place of self-pity, right? Or in the place of sin or running, of self-medicating. Of there's a number of ways that we respond to shaking. And so to come and wait on the Lord sometimes, it requires a returning from those things to the Lord. Say, I'm going to stop, and I'm coming, and I'm going to wait here on Jesus. And take a few minutes here, just in the quiet and in the presence of God, to just come and to wait on Him. By the Spirit, would you know the strengthening of the Lord in this moment and in this space? And then Father Barclay will come and lead us in a confession and prepare our hearts to come to the table. Let's pray. Thank you.